Hello and welcome to K-Botak, a short podcast about Korean cinema and K-dramas with me, John. This episode, we're going to be talking about Dr. Brain, a sci-fi series on Apple TV+. This stars Lee Sun-kyun as Sewon Ko, who is a brain scientist. You may have seen Lee Sun-kyun in TV dramas like My Mister, or the film Jeopirho, The Dawning Rage, or A Hard Day. It also has Lee Yu-young as Jung Jae-hee, who is Sewon's wife, who appeared in Tunnel. Park Hee-soon as Lee Kang-mu, who is a PI, who was recently in the excellent My Name on Netflix, was also in Age of Shadows, which is by the same director as this series, and also in The Witch Part 1 Subversion. It also features Seo Ji-hye as Choi Ji-yun, who is an investigator in the police. She was in Crash Landing on You. Also Lee Jae-won as Hong Nam-il, who is Sewon's colleague. Lee Jae-won is a singer. And it features the lovely Tae-gu from this year's amazing Night in Paradise gangster movie on Netflix that I really, really recommend. And also this year, the series Hometown. Tae-gu has been getting a fair amount of leading roles, major roles, which is brilliant to see. I love the fact that he's still taking on these smaller roles in TV series and even appearing just as characters who are called Tae-gu. So some of the other things I've seen him in this, when he's referred to, he's just Tae-gu. I hope that one day we're going to see him accept an award for a major acting role for playing the character of Tae-gu. So Dr. Brain is directed and written, along with other people, by Kim Ji-eun, who is a celebrated director who I've seen a number of films from. He is able to shift between genres and tones with apparent ease. He has many beloved films, a lot of which I have enjoyed. The first one I ever saw from him was actually in the cinema, and I went and saw this because Song Kang-ho was in it, and I was just coming off The Host. This was years ago when I was in university, and I saw The Good, the Bad, and the Weird, which is a tremendous Korean take on a Western set in the Manchurian desert, and I'm very much due a rewatch for that. It just got added to Netflix over here in Singapore. I have also watched I Saw the Devil, the incredibly gory and grim revenge film that many see as a benchmark for that genre. Rightly so, although I struggled to get through parts of it. Age of Shadows, probably my personal favourite, by Kim Ji-eun, a brilliant period espionage film. And more recently, Ilang. And I also recently managed to watch Tale of Two Sisters, which I wish I had watched way back in the day when I was obsessed with films like Shutter and Alone and The Eye, because classic ghost movie. It's really, really good. And so there's a lot of different genres in just in that group of films I've mentioned there. Like Ilang is a dystopian sci-fi movie based on an anime. There's all sorts of things that he has done and can do. I've yet to see other films which are also acclaimed, like A Bittersweet Life, Quiet Family. But a director who I would say always exciting if he's involved, and the more stuff I've seen from him, the more I've come to feel that way. So I definitely wanted to see Dr. Brain. It is based on a webtoon. It has music by Moog, whose music you may be familiar with if you've seen Burning, which was covered on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. You can find that on the feed, along with Voice of Silence, and also I Saw the Devil. This is the first Apple TV Plus Korean original series, and they announced this at a pretty good time as the world was going crazy about Squid Game. Disney Plus is also doing original Korean content at the moment, and a lot of these OTT services are catching up with a market that internationally Netflix has been somewhat dominating until recently. It does mean that every now and again you might have to get a month on another streaming service if you want to see something, but there's a lot of stuff coming down the pike because of this popularity, And the quality of this and some of the other stuff, I'm not complaining so far. So the premise of this, Sewon, you see him as a little boy. He's a gifted child. He is presented as autistic. I would say the show doesn't handle autism particularly well. Autism happens to be something that I actually know a bit about. It talks about him not feeling things and not having empathy. Those traits can be associated with people who are on the autistic spectrum, but many people who are on the spectrum still feel things, still care about other people, still react emotionally to many things. So, you know, I think probably most people watching this would know that it's playing fast and loose with what autism is all about as a condition and the lives of the people that are on that spectrum. So, but if you're not familiar with it, don't go on what Dr. Brain is telling you. I'd read around. It's one of my only complaints with the show. It's basically just set up that Sewon doesn't feel feelings. He is a brilliant, genius scientist, but he is very cold with people. He doesn't really respond emotionally, and that's kind of what the show wants to establish. He has a recent tragedy in his life. His son has been killed, and his wife is comatose because she tried to take her own life. Sewon has continued his research into brain communication. He believes that with the right application of his research, he can get two brains to communicate directly together. It's a pretty good sci-fi premise. Also reminds me of something that Carl Pilkington once pitched as a movie, so I was quite entertained to see it finally brought to life. Basically, Sewon has a breakthrough when he finds that he can brain sync, but not with a living person because it's too unstable, it's too risky. The recently dead. So in a very morbid few scenes, he goes to the morgue, he basically plugs himself into the brain of a corpse and starts absorbing their memories. And the opening two episodes, I'm not going to talk about anything past the kind of the first 2 hours, two episodes of this. There's six episodes of it, so very digestible, very bingeable, although it was coming out, has been coming out week by week. But six episodes, in my opinion, an elite number of episodes to have. But the opening two episodes are dealing with how, firstly, he is starting to take on other people's memories. He's starting to realize truths he never knew. He begins to discover possibly things about his family that he didn't realize, now that he can see things from other people's perspectives and the perspectives of people that were close to his family. He also starts to exhibit other people's behavior, so his personality starts to change. He does start to become more friendly with his colleagues. He goes for a beer with someone that he's worked with for years and never even asked how the guy is. Starts to, you know, be a bit more jovial about some things, a bit more angry about other things. You know, gives Lee Seung-kyun obviously increasingly more to do, which is a very good thing. He even takes on the abilities of other people, and in a brilliant moment from the second episode, he even swaps memories or absorbs memories from a recently killed cat, because the cat has seen something that he needs to know, and he then starts to take on the traits of the cat. So there's a slight sort of superhero or superhuman aspect to this as well, where he now has preternatural abilities of jumping and sight and instinct. So it's all very crazy but entertaining sci-fi stuff. I personally think that being confronted with the inside of another person's mind would probably drive you insane. But as a sort of Philip K. Dick style sci-fi romp and a meditation on memories and identity, and who you are as a person and your humanity, this covers the bases quite well. It really clips along, and the plotting is tight. I won't go, like I say, into what's beyond that, but in general, this does become more about Sewon seeking out the truth of what has happened to his son, Do-yoon, than a morbid sci-fi series. So it does set up that it's going to be, you know, some pretty out there sci-fi. It becomes more of a family drama as it goes on, but still really good, worth watching the whole thing. In terms of tone, there's some horror elements in the first two episodes, quite strong at that moment. There's some intense imagery. In fact, especially at the beginning of episode two, there's some of the most flamboyantly out there visual concepts in anything I've seen by Kim Ji-eun. He uses the trippy brain sink stuff that he's established here as an excuse to do some really out there and wild things. And in general, the imagery in this is incredibly strong, like the use of colour. There's a lot of scenes that look really saturated. Whenever it goes back into the past, there'll be all kinds of filters and visual trickery. Sometimes when people are speaking, it might go into monochrome, even when it's just in the present. Like there's a scene where he's in a cell and he's just waiting to be investigated or interviewed rather by a police officer. Pretty ordinary, you know, you think you'd just set up and he's sat there, but there's these incredible shafts of golden light contrasted against blue shadows just like streaking across the entire scene. There's something very indulgent and extravagant about the way a lot of the scenes in this show appear and present themselves. It almost feels like there was a group of people trying to outdo each other with concepts for how to set up the look of each scene and how the shots were framed and coloured and post-produced. Everything is just so beautiful, and it's worth watching it just to look at it, which for me is a good reason to watch things anyway. I like attractive, appealing cinematography and colouring and lighting, and this has that in spades. Every frame seems to have been really laboured over it. It looks like a beautiful movie rather than TV. You know, it's equivalent to the sort of the midsection of Ilang, rather than perhaps some of the network dramas that you might see. Really good acting throughout. Lee Sung-kyun and Park Hee-soon are both excellent in this. Lee, like I mentioned, showing how the character changes. He kind of manages that, I think, patiently. He's not doing sudden outbursts when he takes on other people's behaviours. He doesn't really play it for laughs too much. I think it's done just right. I really like Lee Sung-kyun as an actor. I want to see more of the stuff he's done because in this he's a good dramatic lead. He's very complex. He's very good as an action lead or something a bit more comic. So he's clearly amazing. Park Hee-soon is much more enigmatic than in, for example, My Name. He's a mysterious character. He turns up in the dead of night. There's a lot of questions surrounding him. He's rocking an incredible jacket. So these two really, really make the show. But I think also a shout out to Lee Yu-young, who's playing Jae-yi, which is Sewon's wife. She communicates largely in flashbacks to begin with. Quite a lot of pathos and pain. She's a character who's obviously going through a lot. She's just lost a child. She has a husband who isn't really reacting to it and seems more concerned about just getting rid of the kid's cat, which he never liked anyway. So yeah, a wonderful performance there too. I pretty much like everything about this. It's thematically rich, like a lot of Kim's stuff. I've been spending part of the afternoon today looking at analyses of Tale of Two Sisters on YouTube, for example, because there's thematically and in terms of its complex narrative a lot to dig into with that movie. There's a lot here as well, but it's a much more straightforward narrative than that. In Kim Ji-eun's movies, he's dealt with identity a lot. He's not really into talking about politics and society like directors like Yeon Sang-ho or Bong Joon-ho. He writes tragedies and horrors about families and characters. Tale of Two Sisters is all about identity and memory. Ilang even is about the humanity of Kang Dong-won's character versus his role as a death trooper in this dystopian society. I Saw the Devil is about personal vengeance. Age of Shadows is maybe an outlier, as it does deal with Japanese occupation, but even though the most compelling part is Song Kang-ho's character, who's struggling with his identity as a Korean man in Japanese-occupied Korea, and what his role should be in society and the future of his country. Dr. Brain mashes up a lot of these. So obviously, Seowon is changing all the different time. His identity is in flux. We're learning more about who he is and why he is the way he is. He's becoming a different person. There are aspects of tragedy, obviously, because of what has happened to his family. Memory comes through very strongly because of the memories of those that he sinks his brain with, and the theme of vengeance. Obviously, he sets out to find out what has happened to his kid. So this is all pretty familiar territory for Kim Ji-eun, but I think he's doing really great work here. It's incredibly entertaining and watchable. I think a very nicely plotted and paced sci-fi series slash drama. So if you're up for that, this is one that also happens to look absolutely incredible. If you just go on Twitter and, while trying to avoid spoilers, look around for some of the screen grabs that are making the rounds of this show, it's absolutely astonishing. It is one perfect shot, the TV series, a lot of the time. Just stunning. Kim Ji-eun's next project is a film. I'll be catching up on his other ones in the meantime. He's obviously someone that, you know, everything he does is probably worth a look. This is amazing, and because it's a series rather than a film, you get 6 hours of it. So, yeah, Dr. Brain, definitely worth a watch. For sci-fi fans, for Lee Sung-kyun fans, for fans of amazing, beautiful TV, give it a watch. You can follow this show on @KBotakPod on Twitter and Instagram. Retweets and shares are very much appreciated. And best of all, if you like this show, please subscribe and leave a review. I will read the reviews out on the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Cheers.